All throughout the Word of God, we see how it is a great thing to be chosen of God. I look at this, how that God chose to do certain things with certain people and certain groups of people. But I believe the most amazing thing that God ever did was when He chose to love sinners like you and me. He chose to do that, folks. And I'm thankful for that. The Bible said in the book of Psalms, I'd like for you to turn there just a moment. Psalm chapter 135. I was praying this week about what to do on this message. And I read this passage of Scripture this week from Psalm chapter 135. And in the very first four verses, we read these words. David wrote, and he said, "Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the name of the Lord. Praise Him, O ye servants of the Lord, ye that stand in the house of the Lord, in the courts of the house of our God. Praise the Lord. For the Lord is good. Sing praises unto His name, for it is pleasant. For the Lord hath chosen Jacob unto Himself, and Israel for His peculiar treasure." As I read that psalm and I read that passage of Scripture, I noticed here that David was rejoicing in all that God had done for his nation. David was rejoicing in the fact that God had chosen a small and seemingly insignificant group of people called the Jews. And he had loved them, and he had called them to be his very own. I want you to remember that God did not just love them because they were a great big number of people. They weren't much bigger. They weren't any better than or mightier than the nations around them. But rather, we read in the book of Deuteronomy. I want you to turn there just a moment. Deuteronomy chapter 7, verses 6 through 10. We read exactly why God chose to love them. And in this passage of Scripture, Deuteronomy chapter 7, verses 6 through 10, God said here, He said, "For thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto Himself, above all people that are upon the face of the earth. The Lord did not set His love upon you, nor choose you, because ye were more in number than any people. For ye were the fewest of all people. But look at this. But because the Lord loved you, and because He would keep the oath which He had sworn unto your fathers, hath the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand, and redeemed you out of the house of bondmen, from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Know therefore that the Lord thy God, He is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love Him, and keep His commandments to a thousand generations, and repayeth them that hate Him to their face, to destroy them. He will not be slack to him that hateth him. He will repay him to his face." Man, what a blessing it must have been to the children of Israel to know that the Lord God Almighty, listen, think about it, the very creator of all the universe, He had indeed chosen them to be His own peculiar people. And He would not only be faithful to take care of them and to watch over them, but that He would also be the only one in whom they could fully trust and depend upon in their time of need. And folks, when their enemies sought to destroy them, and when their enemies sought to do away with them and to wipe them into the dust of the earth, the very God who had chosen them had promised to see them through. Amen? Isn't that great? God had chosen them. The nation of Israel is God's chosen, peculiar people. That word peculiar, we have different meanings for it today, okay? All right? But that word peculiar means someone or something that is particular or special. That which belongs to a person in exclusion of any others. And God chose this people to be His. And let me just give you the straight of it. Don't mess with God's people unless you want to mess with God. I think there are some nations today discovering that fact, you know? I think that's what's happening. And certainly we're seeing all that in our world today. But did you know that you and I also, as blood-bought, born-again saints of God, we too are seen throughout the Scriptures as being chosen of God. We're chosen of God. As a matter of fact, God so loved the world. He chose to love the whole world. There's nobody been left out. You may say, well, preacher, I don't have much and I don't own anything. I don't have a big paying job. God wasn't thinking about that when He chose to love you. He simply chose to love you because that's the heart of God. As a matter of fact, God so loved the world that He gave the best that He had for you and for me, that we might be with Him one day in heaven. And I want you to understand today, the Apostle Paul wrote about this over in the book of Romans. I want you to turn there to Romans chapter 8. This is church service, right? You did bring your Bibles today, right? Amen. We're going to use them today. Amen. All right. Brother Buck Bowers asked me if I had a scripture verse I was going to use for the message. He wanted to put it up on the internet as they put it out there. And I gave him about 20 different verses. I said, that'll keep you busy, won't it? But in Romans chapter 8, verses 16 and 17, the Bible said this. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, think about this, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with Him, that we may be also glorified together. You know, it's so interesting to note how that when we read about Saul of Tarsus, Saul was a Jewish man, a zealot. He thought he was doing God a favor by wiping out those that trusted in this Jesus, in that way of living. He thought he was doing God a favor in all that he did. He knew that he was special to God. He knew that he was of the tribe of Benjamin. You know, he was of the elite group. He was peculiar, a chosen person of God. But when God so miraculously saved him there on the road to Damascus and knocked him off his high horse, so to speak, there on the road, the Bible said there was a man named Ananias that God sent to meet with Paul in the city. And Ananias questioned God about the terrible things that this man had once done to all those who had accepted Christ as their Savior. And Ananias, to be honest with you, he was afraid to go to this man named Saul of Tarsus. He was afraid. He said, God, I don't know if you've heard about this man, but let me tell you what all he's done. And God said, listen, I know all about those things. And the Bible said that God answered Ananias' question with these words found in Acts chapter 9, verses 15 and 16, where we read this. He said, but the Lord said unto him, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me, to bear my name among the Gentiles and the kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. Now, God did not say that he had chosen this man so that he might become healthy, wealthy, and prosperous among all men. Okay? That's not what he said. God did not say that he had chosen this man so that he might boast and brag about his ability to speak in other tongues. And when I say other tongues, I mean other languages, known languages, okay? Not this jibber-jabber we see on television today. God didn't get, he didn't save Saul of Tarsus so that Saul could brag about that. He didn't save Saul so that he could have the most expensive collection of Breitling watches or Rolex watches or own a multi-million-dollar mansion, okay, somewhere, or have a fleet of jets that he could fly here and there and boast and brag about all of his prosperity that God had given unto him. No, that's not why God saved this man. God not only saw this man, this Saul of Tarsus, as a member of that chosen group of people called the children of Israel, but God had a way of doing some things. He chose him along with other great men so that other men, women, boys, and girls could hear the message of God's great love and salvation that was afforded to every man, whether bond or free. Didn't matter what the past, didn't matter what the present, didn't matter what their situation. God wanted every person. And God not only saw this man, he chose this man, Saul of Tarsus, who would become later known as the Apostle Paul, to be called of God and to be particularly used of God in a mighty way. But he wanted him to be able to share the message that was most important, that God wanted every person to know. And it's that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son for them. Now you think about this just a moment, folks. Saul of Tarsus had been picked for a purpose. God chose that man for a special purpose. We have 13 books, at least in the New Testament, that God used this man to write out for your benefit and for mine. And God used this man to begin churches and to start churches and to preach the message of the gospel where he had never gone before. And God stirred this man's heart after he saved him, because this man had been chosen, even as you and I have been chosen, before the very foundation of the world, to be a servant for the Most High God. And folks, when you think about that today, to be chosen by the Almighty God that created this world, that spoke and said, "Let there be," and it came into existence. To be chosen by that God, man, what a blessing that is. And you know what? None of us can escape the fact that God loves us. You'll never escape that fact. You may never love the Lord enough to be saved. There may be people listening here today and they're thinking, "Well, I don't need to be saved. I'm just going to live my life the way I want to live it." But you know what? You may die and go to hell because you reject Christ, but you'll not go to hell because you were not loved by God. God loved you, and he gave himself for you. And I know if you truly realize this fact this morning, and those of us that are saved, if you realize just how much God has loved you, and you realize how that you have been chosen to be loved by Almighty God, it's going to change your heart and life. It's going to change the way that you look at things in this life. It's going to give you a purpose in this life. And you know, it's no wonder the devil hates us today, because every time he sees you and me, he sees the object of God's love. And the devil wants to do away with that. He wants to stir all the demons of hell to come against us and to try to discourage us from living for the one who so loved us and gave himself for us. But folks, we need to look at that today and consider the fact of being chosen by God, loved by God, given the opportunity to serve the Lord God. Every time the devil sees you, he sees you as the object of God's very love. You know, you think about it today. Does God really love me? Turn with me over to the book of Matthew, chapter number 10, just a moment. I want you to see something here that Jesus said. Jesus said in Matthew chapter number 10, beginning in verse number 29, he said, "Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing? And one of them shall not fall on the ground without your Father." But look at this. "But the very hairs of your head are all numbered." Now, he didn't say how many you had, okay? Some of you are a very fine work of art, okay? Very fine. Almost not there. But look what he said. He said, "But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear ye not, therefore. Ye are of more value than many sparrows." Look over at Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter number 12, beginning in verse 6, Jesus asked here, he said, "Are not five sparrows sold for two farthings? And not one of them is forgotten before God. But even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore, ye are of more value than many sparrows." No wonder God laid it upon the heart of Brother Peter to write in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, that the Lord is not slack concerning his promise to usward, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Do you see the value that God has placed upon you and me and every other person in this world today? God chose to love us. And yet, the Bible tells us in the book of John, chapter number 1, look at this with me. John chapter 1, beginning in verse 10, that when God sent his only begotten Son into this world, the Bible said that he was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, think about it now, folks. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Amen. Isn't that great? God did that. And I don't know if you understand it or not, but God's trying to tell us here in this passage of Scripture something we need to understand. We need to take into the depths of our heart and hold it dear to our hearts today. Go on down another verse in John chapter 1 there to verse 14. And I want you to look at this. He said, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." Think about this morning, folks. If you look back at the very first part of that chapter, chapter 1, verse 1, we're told there that in the beginning was the Word. Notice that word is capitalized. That's a proper name. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was what? It was God. God himself came into this world in the form of a man. That was Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God. And you know what? When we look at this and we consider the choice that God made, I'm reminded of that verse over in Matthew chapter 1, verse 23, where the Bible said, "His name shall be called Emmanuel," talking about Jesus when he's birthed into this world. "His name shall be called Emmanuel," which being interpreted is God with us. God made a choice. And because there was no other way to redeem sinful man, And because there was no other way for you and to me, for you and me to be redeemed from the penalty, the wages of our sin, God sent forth His Son in the form of a man that would one day go to the cross of Calvary and take upon Himself your sins and my sins and pay the debt that we owed, that we might be with Him forever one day in heaven. God made that choice, and He chose to love you and for me. Thank God for that fact today. And this is why the Holy Spirit of God so inspired His servant to write these words in Romans chapter 10. He said this in Romans chapter 10, verses 8 through 13. For each of us to see and understand today, the word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And look at this. For the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on Him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. Did you know that God is no respecter of persons? God will love the whosoever today. Amen. And that whosoever just happens to be you and me. There's no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon Him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Thank God for the Word of God that shows us that truth today. And it's for this reason that I, and even as the Apostle Paul did in his day, as we read here in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. I know I'm taking it to a lot of places, but I want you to see this in the Word of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, beginning in verse number 23, he said, we preach Christ crucified. Unto the Jews, a stumbling block. And unto the Greeks, foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men. Can somebody say amen to that today? The very foolishness of God is wiser than any man. And the weakness of God is stronger than men. For ye see your calling, brethren, had it not many wise after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things that which are mighty. And the base things of the world and things which are despised hath God chosen. Yea, and the things which are not to bring naught things that are. Why? That no flesh should glory in His presence. Folks, do you see what God is trying to tell us in His Word today? You and I have been loved and chosen by God, not just to be saved, and not just to be birthed into the family of God through faith in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ, but we have been saved to bring Him honor and glory so that we might let others know what God can do for us, God can do for them as well. Amen? If God could save you, He could save anybody. If God could save me, He could save anybody. And the good news is that God is willing to seek and to save that which is lost, and to save whosoever will come unto Him. Isn't that great to know today? The psalmist David wrote in Psalm chapter 126, verse 3. I keep this as one of my life verses, one of many. But the psalmist wrote there, he said, the Lord had done great things for us, whereof we are glad. Amen. I'm glad about what God's done. And if I could only give you one challenge today, it would be this same challenge that the Old Testament prophet Samuel gave unto the people there in 1 Samuel chapter 12, verse number 24. And it's this. He told the people, he said, only fear the Lord and serve him in truth with all your heart. For consider how great things he hath done for you. I want you to consider today how great things God has done for you. Now that's my introduction to the message. Now I want to get to the message now. Man, I got started on this looking at all that God has done. And I couldn't help but just glorify his name. And I want to share with you three simple things in a message today. I want to entitle simply this one word, chosen. Chosen. You and I today have been chosen for a special purpose in this world. You and I have been chosen today. I want you to see just three simple things today that I feel that we need to think about when we consider just how much God truly loves us and how much he cares for us and how that he has chosen to make each of us to be his very own today. I belong to God. I'm a child of the King. Amen. He knows me and I know him. I want you to understand three things. Number one, each of us here today have been chosen to see and to be loved and birthed into the family of God. We have been chosen to be loved and birthed into the family of God. When God looked at Adam there in the Garden of Eden, it probably broke God's heart because man chose to disobey God. And man rightly deserved the penalty, the payment for his sin. And that was to be forever separated from God in a place prepared for the devil called hell. That's what we deserve, folks. And yet, God chose to love us. Amen. Turn with me to the book of Ephesians chapter 3 just a moment. Look at this with me today. Paul wrote something here that you and I need to consider. In Ephesians chapter 3, Ephesians chapter 1, beginning in verse number 3, he said this. He said, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. And he goes on. And he says, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will according to the good pleasure which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we, think about this, folks, we, lost, hell-bound sinners, that we should be made, or should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ. Folks, God chose you and God chose me in himself before the very foundation of the world. That's how much God loved you today. He loves you that much. And folks, I want you to understand something this morning. And I'm being honest with you. I'm not holy. I'm not holy. And neither are any of you, okay? But God is holy. And because He is holy, the Bible said in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, "For He had made Him, His Son, Jesus, to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him." God has done a work that we could not do for ourselves, folks. And we need to see and understand that today. All the way back in the Old Testament book of Isaiah, Isaiah wrote how that Messiah would come. And Isaiah wrote about how that this Messiah would be bruised for our iniquities. He was speaking to his people. He would be rejected, despised, and forsaken. And yet, God said in this same chapter, Isaiah chapter 53, verses 10 and 11, the Bible says, "Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him." It pleased God to bruise his son for your sakes and for mine. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He had put him to grief. And when thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the travail of his soul, and he shall be satisfied. Amen? The debt would be paid, and God would be satisfied. And by his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. That's what Jesus came to do for you and for me. And folks, you and I, listen, we have been chosen to be loved and birthed into the family of God for a purpose. And I want you to see point number two, this. We've been chosen to be servants of the Most High God. You know what, folks today boast and brag about where they work. They boast and brag about what they do in this world and all the riches that they have and all the skills that they have and all the education they have. But folks, to be a servant of God is the greatest job that anyone in this world could ever hold. Hey, listen, my wife made me a little plaque one time. She crossed this little plaque. She said, serving the Lord may not pay much, but the benefits are out of this world. Amen. And they are. And you know what? God has chosen you and God has chosen me to be His servants. And that ought to be seen as a privilege and a blessing to each one of us today. We need to understand, it's sad, folks. It's sad. Because many a child of God cannot see the forest for the trees. And we cast away our privileges, our opportunities to serve the Lord from a happy and joyful heart. I've heard folks say, "Well, preacher, I just don't have the time to serve the Lord." Oh, preacher, that kind of stuff, it's just not for me. I'm not a people person. You better be glad that God was a people person, amen? Because if He had not been, you wouldn't be saved today. "Well, I'm just not going to waste my time with people that don't say thank you for everything I do for them." Well, you know what? Listen, that's not what we're in this business for. Our job is to take the gospel to the lost. Our job is to tell folks about Christ. And you know what? When those people saw Peter and John in the New Testament, those richety, uppity religious people looked at those men. And in Acts chapter 4, verse 13, the Bible said, "Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled. And they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Amen? Now, let me ask you something today. I don't care if you've got enough degrees behind your name that we could call you Dr. Bottle Stopper or whatever, Dr. Fahrenheit. Listen, that's not what's going to matter when you stand before God. But were you a servant of God? God has chosen you and me to be servants of the Most High God. Can you say today that you are a happy and joyful servant of God? Man, it's time for Christians to get excited. We see the Lord's coming in the very things that are happening all around us in this world today. We need to understand, it may not be long before we stand before God and give account unto Him. And how will we stand before Him? I want to hear Him say, "Well done, thou good and faithful," what? Servant. Servant. I want to be a servant of God. But the last thing I want us to see this morning is this. You and I have been chosen by God to bring forth fruit so as to bring honor and glory unto the one who first chose to love us and to save us. We've been chosen to bring forth fruit. That's our job. That's our honor. That's our privilege that we get to do for the one who saved us. Turn with me to John chapter 15. And in John chapter 15, Jesus said this. Beginning in verse number 1, He said, "I am the true vine, and My Father is the husbandman. Every branch in Me that bringeth or that beareth not fruit, He taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, He purgeth it." You know what? It's not fun being purged sometimes, is it? But God does that because He wants us to be able to bear more fruit. Look what He said. "And every branch that beareth fruit, He purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in Me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in Me. I am the vine. Ye are the branches. He that abideth in Me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without Me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in Me, he's cast forth as a branch and is withered. And men gather them and cast them into the fire and they're burned. If ye abide in Me, and My words abide in ye, ye shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is My Father glorified, that ye throw in a $100 bill every Sunday on the offering plate. That you show yourself at least once or twice in the church every month." No, He said, herein is My Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. And look what He said. "So shall ye be My disciples. As the Father hath loved Me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in My love. If ye keep My commandments, ye shall abide in My love, even as I have kept My Father's commandments and abide in His love. These things have I spoken unto you, that My joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is My commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are My friends, if you do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth, I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard of My Father, I have made known unto you. Ye have not chosen Me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. That whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. These things I command you, that you love one another. Folks, that is our opportunity. That is our privilege today to bring honor and glory unto God. Jesus said in Matthew 4:19, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And you know what the very next verse says, verse 20? It said, and they straightway left their nets and followed him. I got a little book here that I keep. It's my little anything book. It's called the anything book. And I write all kinds of things in there. But one of the things I wrote in here, just not long after I got saved, was how thankful I was that God had chosen to love me. This little poem says this: so many hundreds of years ago, a Savior died for me. This, God's Son, God's only Son, died to set me free. And this great love given so many years ago, why it was given, I don't really know. I'm just so glad the Son decided to love a wretch like me. He chose me. He chose me. And though I don't know why, I'm so happy that he did. He chose me. He chose me. Jesus, God's only Son. He chose me. Now, I put that to music, but I'm not going to sing it for you today, because you're about to go and get dinner here in a minute, and I don't want you to get upset about that. But folks, I want you to understand something today. You and I have been chosen of God. God chose to love us. God chose to provide salvation for us. And through that salvation, God chose to make us his children, his servants. What kind of servant will you choose to be today? God chose to love us. Now, what will you choose to do with that love? A great thing to consider. Let's pray. Father, Lord, I love you today. And Father God, I am so glad that you chose to love a wretch like me. And Father, I want to give you my very all today. And Lord, I don't know all the folks that may be listening to the sound of my voice. I don't know all of those that know you as their Savior. I feel that there are many, many hundreds in this auditorium today that are saved, that know you as their Savior. But God, I can't judge man's hearts. Only you can do that. But Father, if there be someone here today that's never chosen to accept the love that you chose to give unto them, and that great gift of salvation, I pray, God, today that you will help them to be willing to turn unto you and accept that great gift of salvation. And Lord, for all of those that are saved here in this auditorium today, Lord, help us to choose to make our bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto you, which is just our reasonable service. Help us, Lord God, to be the servants that you would have us to be. And remember that we do what we do because we love you enough to do it. Speak to our hearts now, God, and we'll thank you for what you do. For it's in Jesus' name we ask and pray. Amen.